Hello, this is Jay Nero. You're listening to The Life Autistic. This is episode number 656. Just driving down the road here, going toward my next job. I had to practically stop and wait for a herd of cattle to go around the car on the road I'm on. It's actually a paved road, but the guys who were moving their cattle were using this conduit to move some cattle, so now you gotta be kind of considerate to these people. Just passing by the beautiful spot called Field, and now I'm going toward Claude. Okay, this episode number 656. I had some ideas of what I wanted to talk about next. Oh yes, bicycle touring. Something I really enjoy reading about, but I haven't really done yet. Now, I bike back and forth to work, and I'm just now getting to the point to where I can do the distance just fine without any problems. Even with a pretty good headwind, I can do my 5 miles to work and 5 miles home without a lot of complications, you know. Okay, let me tell you a little bit about my experiences just personally with bike riding. I think it started about not quite 4 years ago. When I took this job, my office is nearly 5 miles from home. And you have to go pretty much all the way through town and down a couple of country lanes to get to my office, which is actually an agricultural science center, so it's out of town. It's actually a beautiful scenic spot. It's fantastic. My wife would probably love to live there. Anyway, but that's neither here nor there. I started biking back and forth about 3 years ago. This wasn't a reaction to high gas prices particularly, although it certainly gives me incentive to keep going. For about the past 3 years during the summer times and pretty deep into fall and trying to do it pretty early in spring, when I'm not traveling or doing something else, or when I have to make other arrangements, I tended to bike back and forth to work. About this time every year, I've been biking for probably about 2 months, on and off, this year, and now I'm just getting to the point to where, you know, I don't even have to think about it. I get on the bike, I bike my 5 miles to work, and it's not a big thing, you know. It's just part of life. It's like driving. Where before, you know, it's like, oh God, I got a bike home. Ugh, this is horrible. Ugh, you know, and you'd almost have to psych yourself up to do it. Now it's nothing. It's a no-brainer. You go in your bike home, and that's all there is to it. Also, because you know the time's getting shorter because I'm a lot stronger, and pedaling. Stuff like that. I've been looking at, and I've always looked at recumbent bicycles. I don't have one. I tend to take just cheap store-bought crap bicycles, the type you find at discount stores, and I run those things into the ground. The last bike I had, I got rid of it after I figured out I had broken like 7 spokes on the back wheel, and of course I have absolutely no equipment with which to fix these things. Someday I need to get down to getting at least enough equipment, enough know-how, to be able to rebuild bicycle wheels so that I can keep my bikes going. You know, and I like bikes. Bikes are on kind of a technical level that works for me. I don't like complexity at all, even though I work with computers, which are considered to be pretty complex creatures. And I guess they are. But I really like simplicity. I like simple computers. I like simple everything. I just like simplicity, period. Because I don't like doing a lot of maintenance. And anytime you don't have, anytime you lack simplicity, you know, you tend to lack, you know, it tends to be harder and harder to work on, to the fact that we throw things away. I like having things that are going to last for forever, basically. Anyway, so, so I look at these bikes, these recumbent bikes, and I, you know, I want a really durable one, and durable ones cost upwards of $2,000. The ones that are really built like tanks. And that's what I really want. I want a reliable mode of transportation where I'm the motor. And I'm looking at tadpole-style ones. Those are kind of the three-wheelers that have the two wheels in the front that you steer with, and then one wheel in the back, and you kind of sit in the inside the triangle that's formed by it. I really like those. I think those would be fantastic. But honestly, I think I'm end up just getting a more traditional two-wheel recumbent bicycle. You know, just for efficiency's sake, having three wheels means you have to put forth more effort in propelling it forward. You don't have to worry so much about balance, but you know, but it's more efficient, and efficiency is really good for me too. And there's a whole lot more people building recumbent bicycles rather than the tricycles. Anyway, so I always go, I always type into my search engine, and you can too, feel free. This thing called, bicycle touring. And always, one of the first two or three things to pop up is this website that I like so much. I don't remember the web address. But it's this great thing about this guy who seems to be just be the authority on bicycle touring. He's done it a ton. Short stuff, but long stuff, too. No, I think it's called bicycle camping, maybe. I think I put in touring, and it worked. But I think it's camping. And he takes his stuff. He's a really lightweight camper. And he goes out, and he goes all over the place camping. He'll put up his tent by the side of the road, or he'll put up his tent off the beaten path a bit in some trees so he's not disturbing anybody. And I kind of like that. I really do want to be off of radar screens. I don't want to bother anybody, and I don't want to be bothered, you know. And the best way to do that is to just be kind of invisible. I know there's a whole bunch of people that really just hate being invisible, you know, but I don't. You know, what's a good example of somebody who talks about being invisible? Oh, I always do movies because my family likes them. I like movies too, just not to the extent they do. The Princess Diaries. My daughter liked the books, and she liked the movie, too, although, of course, the movies never like the books, because they get really creative with it. You know, nobody stays true to the book, because books rarely make good movies as they sit. The basic premise of books might make an excellent movie. Many of them do. Anyway, Princess Diaries, the movie's got Anne Hathaway. I love Anne Hathaway. She's great. A good kid. Anyway, don't bother calling her a kid. She's just good. She's just fun to watch. She's cute. She's vivacious, and I think and you can tell that she's enjoying what she's doing. Anyway, so Anne Hathaway, right? She's Princess Mia, and of course, in the first movie, Princess Diaries, she was this just kind of kid who was kind of a klutzy, inept, nobody type kid. Everybody else around her was either, you know how school girls are, I suppose, or at least how they're depicted in movies, you know. You have your popular kids, then you have your other kids who kind of dress goth and almost want to be noticed by how weird they can be. And I don't have much respect for that at all. You know, not that they shouldn't do it. Like I said, I'm kind of a live and let live person. You know, I don't care. If you want to dress like that, that's your business. I'm not going to do it because, you know, I don't want to draw any attention to myself. Not particularly. And and that's a good definition of what being invisible is when she was invisible. Then all of a sudden she became the princess, and now she wasn't going to be invisible anymore. And how she dealt with that. You know, I don't think she was really a nerd. You know, she was such a nerd. And then she blossomed. And, you know, that means she really wasn't a nerd. That means she was unnoticed. That means she was a nobody. You know, it wasn't because she was trying to be unnoticed. It was because, you know, she just wasn't. And it seemed like she, although she was resigned to it, she wasn't happy with it. I am happily, I think, maybe I'm not, I don't know. What would have to do? If you have a comment about this, feel free. autism@quix.us. You know, if you really want to be unnoticed, if you really want to be, you know, whatever. Not a part of something. That's cool. That's great. Sounds wonderful. Anyway, it doesn't matter. That's one of the big things about this. It's not a big thing. The way this guy approaches bicycle camping is he'll just park by the side of the road. And I've seen it. I don't know if this is the same guy, but there's not very many people that do it. Therefore, when you see one, you have to figure that it's kind of a quiet group. Or a small group. Because you don't see it very often. And, you know, they're usually going down side roads. And I, of course, go down side roads, so I would be most likely to see them. And I saw this guy. He had his tent up. You're just kind of resting and relaxing, taking it easy. And it was just kind of cool. And I thought, I would love to do that. Now, he goes out and he likes to talk to people and learn new things and see stuff like that. And I, when it gets down to it, I really don't care about that. You know, that doesn't interest me. I guess it would be the act of just getting together the material to be able to do it would probably be the biggest thing for me. And, you know, after that, actually doing it time and time again, unless it was purposeful, unless I needed to do it for whatever job I was doing. Now, that would be interesting. If I decided to get into selling books and stuff like that and going out on tour, I think that's the way I would like to tour, you know, quietly. But just having this kind of small, eclectic group of people and doing that kind of stuff, I think maybe that would be really kind of nice. And we'll see what happens with it. I really can't do that with the present job I have because it's too... It really jerks you around too often, you know. If there's an emergency and you have to go and emergency get yourself somewhere, that would do it. I would love for this job to be something of a nomadic thing. You know, you pull up stakes, you go somewhere else, and you're with these people for a time, and then you pull up stakes and you go someplace else, and you go someplace else for a time, doing whatever needs to be done to make this stuff happen. I guess that's why yurts and maybe tent living is kind of attractive. To me personally, it doesn't, I don't think it attracts my wife at all. She doesn't like it in the least. Or it doesn't, you know, she's always weird about, well, how do you put a shower in that? And you go, I get frustrated. It's almost like you're not catching the vision of this. And she goes, not only am I not catching the vision, but I don't want to. It sounds like some dread disease. It's like, oh, okay. So we don't talk about it, and it's just something that I have to put into reserve for some future day. I don't know when that day, if that day will ever come. But someday, maybe, it will. I don't know. I hope I live a long time, and I kind of hope, in a strange sort of way, that I outlive my wife by quite a bit. Because, you know, I would like to do this stuff, and I know she doesn't. She does not have any interest in any of this. People say, well, you married wrong, Jane. You go, no, I didn't marry wrong. Says, but it's something that just has to wait. This is, if nothing else, this teaches me patience. Waiting for that moment. Anyway, so I'm interested very much in all this stuff. Just quietly going about life, you know. I look at life like I was just reading the thing about what's it called? Leave No Trace. The whole concept of Leave No Trace. I look at that as something of a lifestyle, you know, that I will leave no trace. Not that, you know, I don't want people, you know, if people want to show up at my funeral, great. If nobody does, that's fine. I had kids because, somewhat out of a sense of obedience, but also just because I like my family. No, I do love my kids, and I love my wife. But, you know, and I'll travel around from here to there and go see my kids. You know, but they'll always say, yeah, Dad, he doesn't really have a place, really. He has kind people who offer to let him stay in their backyard or their front yard or something and use some of their water so they can take a shower things like that. But by and large, he's just, you know, people say, well, it sounds like a drifter. And you go, well, you know what? Drifting doesn't sound like too bad of a life. Now, I don't mean to do it by panhandling. I'm not very happy with people who panhandle and just wandering around. I think they could find something better to do. But I would love to live really light on land because it's cheap, and cheap really, really sings to me. Not that I have really cheap things particularly. My computer certainly isn't cheap. Other things that I have, they certainly aren't cheap either. But I tend to gravitate toward things that have, I think, long-term value. The laptop that I really like, the one that I really enjoy using the most, runs on standard batteries. Not just because I want to go out and buy tons and tons of standard batteries. I tend to buy rechargeables for obvious reasons, because I need to recharge them. But I really like, you know, I like small things. I tend to be kind of portable. And I enjoy sleeping out in my tent. And I know people think, God, what a pain in the butt. Don't you want something permanent in your life? And you go, you know what? I don't like the responsibility, the added responsibility of being permanent. you know, you have to have insurance, you have to have this stuff like that. I feel like that's just, a lot of it's just wasteful. I'm just thinking about sharing the gospel and how much of that doesn't require any of this stuff, that you could touch people's lives just as readily. In fact, probably more so, going out and biking and sharing the gospel with people that way, giving away stuff. Anyway, so, interesting thing. I would love to have kind of a permanent mission doing that. Going from place to place, not touching ground too much. Staying in touch with my family, though. That's important. I think that's good. But otherwise, not much to it. Don't really care too deeply about trying to make that come to pass. You know, I would have a radio, but it would only be to communicate with one centralized computer that would be in somebody's house, so that they could, so that I could transmit my thing, so I could stay in communication. Mostly not because I want to communicate, but because other people will be scared or sad or offended if I don't communicate with them. That's what it ultimately comes down to. Weird though it ends up being. That's what it ends up being. I tend to stay in touch with people to try to make them feel better, not because it really helps me any. I could just walk away and be gone for 6 months and then reappear. And people go, well, where have you been? Well, did you ever talk to anybody? And it's like, I didn't need to. I didn't need to talk to anybody. Now, you know, if I have some goal, some mission to accomplish, you know, I think that would be useful. Anyway, this is Jay Nimro. I've reached my destination. You know, interesting, fun stuff. Radio, bicycle touring, bicycle camping, and how that might fit in with Jay. The blissfully, hopefully blissfully, isolated. That's why I don't mind people. I like people. But I can just, you know, I don't want to say I can do without them, but I don't need the sociality. I understand the whole idea of, you know, some people do this, some people do that, and we all come together and we trade with each other, or we have commerce with each other, and it takes care of all of our needs. That's great, and I'm happy for that. Anyway, this is Jay Nimro. You're listening to The Life Autistic. This is episode number 656. Where's my pointer? There it is. It's stuck up in a corner. There it goes. Have a great day. Are you still? Oh, okay. Have a great day!